All right, we're going to talk about the candlestick. This particular room of the actual tabernacle, which is called the sanctuary, it has a couple of furnitures. We talked about the last time I was here, which is maybe 3 weeks ago, was the table of showbread, and we see that right over here on the right. This is the door of the sanctuary. It's all curtains. It's not like a double door, wooden door, or a gate, or whatever. It's a door. And it's made out of the fine, fine linen with all the colors, the scarlet, the blue, and the purple. And you can go into that, and when the minute you walk in, the first room you see, there's only two rooms in the sanctuary, and the first room you go into is called the holy place. And the holy place, obviously, the only people that can go in the sanctuary, by the way, are the priests, those that performed all the sacraments and all of the different things that the priest was supposed to do. It's my cell phone. I'm sorry. we talked about the table of showbread, and we're going to talk about the candlestick today. We got the altar of incense, the veil, and the ark, which would be in the holiest of holies, and we'll talk about that as well, and the mercy seat that's on top of the ark, and all the stuff inside the ark, the rod, the Aaron's rod that budded, the manna from the wilderness, and the two tablets, which is the Ten Commandments. So we'll talk about that. In your notes, we'll start. Go ahead and start in your notes. By the way, this is what the candlestick looked like, and we'll explain a little bit more of what it is. The candlestick, and I'll say it later, but I'll go ahead and say it now, it's made out of pure gold. And it wasn't melted gold and put in a mold. It was solid gold, and they hammered it. Basically, they made, they got, I think it's 1 talent. 1 talent of pure gold. It's not made out of the rest of the furniture. Some of the furniture were made of what? Shittim wood. And they overlaid it with gold. This was not made out of wood at all. If you pick this up, it'd probably be very heavy. Although gold is very light metal. But if you pick it up and hit somebody with that, it might hurt. So I'm sure if you pick up anything in the furniture and hit somebody with it, it would hurt. But I don't think the priests had any fighting going on in the tabernacle. But maybe they did. I don't know. Somebody got mad because they got a better looking robe than the other person. No, I don't know. But it's a very heavy piece of material. And it's hammered in. So it's pretty amazing how they make it. And all the little decoration that it had. It didn't have a specific size, dimension-wise. It doesn't tell us in the Bible how tall it is. It doesn't tell us how wide the branches is. It just tells us there were 3 branches on the one side and 3 on the other side. And it told us that it was made of 1 talent of gold. That's all it tells us. So you're going to see in the picture, you saw the picture earlier, it wasn't look like this. And you got this picture, and you can make another picture of your own. So as long as it's about 1 talent of pure gold. So that's what that is. No more pictures, guys. Sorry about it. I know you guys like picture books, but we're going to go into the words now. The words are important, too, in the book. And so we're going to go to that. The golden candlestick, according to the pattern. Remember, it was God-given. God gave them the pattern to do it. Exodus chapter 25. And let's turn over there. Exodus chapter 25. Notice there's blanks in your paper, and there's words in the blanks up here. If you could put the words that I have up here in your paper that's got a blank spot there, that would be the idea of that. Okay? So the first one would be person. You get ahead of me. The bottom one, if you can't read it, the lamps were trimmed in the morning and it was lighted. Light, T-E-D, in the evening. But I'm going to go ahead and read you Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter number 25. I'm so glad Valentine's Day is over. I was getting tired of it for a minute. Because we went to Texas, and all they talked about was their Valentine's banquet that everybody should go to. And then you come here, and they talked about their Valentine banquet that you should go and attend. And then the last Sunday morning, I was in another church, and they had a Valentine's banquet that you can attend. And I said, I appreciate everybody celebrating my birthday like that. The problem is they celebrated without me, and that's the problem with that. But it's all right. I forgive them. Maybe one of these days I can join one of those Valentine's banquets. But I enjoyed the singles. Man, the singles were awesome. It was really good. We had chocolate fountain flowing down, and you could stick strawberries in there, pineapple and such. Am I boring you guys? I hope I'm not. I'm just enjoying my time here. I'm just enjoying myself. The candlestick. Let me read to you Exodus 25, if you're not there already. I'll read it to you. Verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall thou candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowl, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be the same of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches on the candlestick out of the one side, and 3 branches on the candlestick out of the other side. 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch with the knop and a flower. So in the 6 branches that came out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be enough under 2 branches of the same, and enough under 2 branches of the same, and enough under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick of the same. No. verse 36. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same, and it shall be 1 beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamp thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongues thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall they make it with all these vessels. And look thou, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Man, I don't know if God wrote all this down in stones like he did the tabernacle, but if he did it, Moses had some memory. If God just audibly spoke these things to him, because he said it again and again, branches of the same. I don't know how many times he said of the same, but that would get me confused just reading it. So that's what you have to read when you get home and pay attention to it in detail, because the tabernacle was given to us by God in detail. And Moses had to have some memory to remember all of this. Remember it. And then tell it to a couple of the people. Eleazar and Aholiad, and they were the ones to make it. But it's amazing. It's amazing how he could remember all of this. If God told me that, I'll forget a little aspect of it. But God gave him the memory. The candlestick is a representative of a person. Notice the personal pronoun his that God uses in reference to the candlestick. That's talking about in the New Testament and Revelation. Remember the candlesticks? Let's turn over to Revelation chapter number 2. And I'm not going to read you the entire thing in Revelation chapter number 2. But if you take time to read it yourself, it'll show you what I'm talking about. Revelation chapter number 2. And let me just read you verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. It speaks of a person, the candlestick. In the golden candlestick, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And if we don't do the first work, we don't even have to do anything, but Christ will be out of our church. We have to follow his leading. We have to follow his word. We have to follow his example. Or else we'll just come into church doing religious work, and Christ is not even in the church. And by the way, when he talked about, remember that passage there in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 20, I believe it is. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If you look at the context of that, he was talking to the church. He was not talking to a lost group of people. He was talking to the church. He was talking to those people that he died for, the people that believed and trusted him as their Savior. The people that got together and assembled themselves, baptized believers in a local church, and he was talking to them. Guys, let me in. You guys are supposed to be having church because I live. You're supposed to be having church because I love the church, and I gave myself for it. I'm the head of the church, guys. Hello? Anybody home? But we can get so good at playing church that we tend to forget why we go to church. And we tend to forget that important relationship that we go to church for. And that's to build our relationship, obviously, with the Lord Jesus. That's why we come to church ultimately, is so that our relationship with God can grow. It's not so that we can find a girl, or so that a girl can find a guy, or so that we girls or ladies can find, not me, you, but so you can find your little friends and you can have a little clique, or the same for the fellas, so you can find your fishing buddies. That's not necessarily what the church is for, although that comes from it. But if you come to the church, your main emphasis should be is that your relationship with God would grow as you hear the preaching of God's word, as you hear the singing. By the way, when you sing, that should minister to you. Singing is a ministry. When somebody comes up, the congregation is sung, that is your opportunity, fellas and ladies. That's our opportunity to say to God, thank you. We praise you. Praising is thanking the Lord. Come to, into his courts with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise. I'm really butchering that verse. But the truth is, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we sing, that's a form of praising him. So when you open up the hymn book, when the song leader says, stand up, let's sing. It's not the time so we can monkey with our phones. It's not the time so that we can chit-chat. It's not the time that our mind could be somewhere else about dinner, about lunch. No, it's about him. We sing unto the Lord. And so that's what it is. It's all about the Lord Jesus. Don't let the Lord Jesus be outside our church knocking on the door. He should be right in the midst of us. He should be right here teaching us. And let us do that. And that's just not part of our... I'm saying that as a member. I'm saying that as a person that sits in the pew and listens to the preacher. I'm sure pastor has dealt with the Lord himself. I'm sure he had prayed this week. I'm sure he has studied his word this week. And so he has to deal with God with his relationship. But as a congregation, we need to do the same thing. We need to do the same thing. So important, important. Don't let God be outside. Let him be in the midst of it. He's the preeminence. When we say that, we say he's the main deal. If there was a stage here and there was a concert going on, he would be the main singer. I mean, if it was a quarterback, he would be the quarterback. If it wasn't a football, he would be the main star. He would be the one that we came here for. He'd be the one, if we were in a concert and we paid, we wanted to see him. And don't let him be the man in the back. Don't let him be outside. In the golden candlestick, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we see in the candlestick, and we'll go through it in your notes, is that the only light that the tabernacle, the sanctuary has, there is no outside light that comes in. And the only light that they have is the candlestick. There's the only light. That's the only light that you'll see in the tabernacle. The only thing that lights the place is the candlestick. That's the only thing. The purpose of the candlestick is to provide light. The lamps were trimmed in the morning and lighted in the evening. Exodus 37 and 8. And we can go on Leviticus 24. Let's turn there. Leviticus chapter number 24. Leviticus 24. And let me read verse 1 through 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation. Shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. Remember the knops and the bowls? Well, that's where they were put the pure oil and those things. And let's go ahead and go to the next part of our notes. Materials in the construction of the candlestick. Like I said earlier, it was one talent of pure gold. One talent of pure gold. What's the gold speaks of again? It speaks of deity, majesty, and God's glory. A pound back then is close to about 100 pounds. One talent is about the same as 100 pounds. So that's a lot. That's heavy. 100 pounds of gold. Of being worked, not a mold. It wasn't molded. And there's a reference to Isaiah 53, and we know what Isaiah 53 talks about. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me read you this. You don't have to turn there. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs, talking about the Lord Jesus, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. The candlestick is a representation of Jesus Christ himself, like we talked about earlier. And we wanted to be inside, not outside. He was inside the holy place. And he was made of one talent. It speaks of his deity. Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is God. He is God manifested in the flesh for us. And he was beaten. By his stripes we were healed. He was bruised for our iniquities. There was no sin found in him, but he died because of us. One piece, remember? The Bible talks about that no bones in his body was broken. That was very significant. And it talks about that in the candlestick. The candlestick was not one piece of gold put together. So it was a block of 100 pounds of gold, and they beaded it, or in a sense, they sculpted it into making this candlestick. So it's one solid thing. There was no parts. There was not part of the little bottom shaft that was attached to the three branches. All of it were all intertwined, connected together, one piece. It was one piece. And the Lord Jesus on the cross, remember the two malefactors on either side? The soldiers came at the time that Jesus said, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. And he laid his head and he died and he went to heaven and so on and so forth. And he was buried. And obviously he rose again 3 days and ascended to heaven. But the two malefactors, the soldiers broke their what? Their legs. Because the reason they were living is because they still had strength in their legs to pull themselves up to breathe. And so when they broke the legs, they had no power to pull themselves up. And so they died. That to make sure they're dead. And Jesus, they were going to do that to him, but he was already dead. And so what the soldier did instead is use his spear and pierce through his side, and water and blood came out. And that's another significant thing about the Lord's death. But the candlestick being pure gold talks about Jesus. And the pure oil of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit-filled Christ, Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, Revelations 4 and 5, Luke 4 and 18. The Lord Jesus Christ was full of the Spirit of God. It's not ironic. He's God, so he'll be full of himself. And not in the good, not in the wrong sense. He is full of the Holy Ghost. When he was on earth, he was full of the Holy Ghost. He worked in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's his power. He's God. The quality of the oil, it was pure. Leviticus 24:2, we already read that. It was pure. It talks of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, the oil oftentimes symbolizes the Holy Spirit of God. When you see oil somewhere, it symbolizes the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. And the quality of it, it's holy. It's undefiled. It's pure. God was undefiled. He was pure. The quantity of the oil, we read in Leviticus again 24:2, it was to burn continually. That's the same thing as saying it was supposed to be burned all the time and never go out. It talks of sufficiency for all who want to be filled. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, where in its excess, but be filled. Oh, I'm speaking like a Southern now, but be filled with the Spirit. Man, I'm messing up. be filled with the Spirit. I'm speaking like one of those Georgians. But that's what the Bible talks about, being filled with God. Now, it's not a pretty spooky or very scary or very abnormal thing, like most people would think. It's just simply this. The Holy Spirit came inside of us in the midst of our salvation. As Gentiles, the Jews, when they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit right away. In the book of Acts, there was a transition point. See, Jesus came to do what? To came to His own, but His own received Him not. Well, in God's mind, He had to come to His own first. That was His own. The Jews was His chosen people. He had to start with them. But the Jews rejected Him in a sense. But obviously, the apostles and the disciples were all Jews. So the first converts, the first disciples, the first people that believed the Lord Jesus were Jews, were His own people, per se. Let's say it that way. Obviously, all of us are God's creation, but God chose the Jews. And so He started with them, saved them. But in the middle of their salvation, I'm talking about when Jesus has already gone to heaven. I'm talking about the ministry of Peter. I'm talking about the ministry of Paul. When they talked to this people, the Jews, they got saved, but the Holy Spirit didn't come and dwell with them right away. They had to be baptized. And so when they got baptized, there was a sign gift. And we don't have sign gifts now because we're saved by, we're Gentiles. We don't have sign gifts. We're not saved by signs. They were saved, they wanted to see sign and wonders. The Jews were a people of sign. They wanted to see something. And so God gave them a couple of what they call sign gifts. And that was speaking in tongues, and that was healing. That was the sign gifts. That's why you say, well, you guys don't believe in healing? Yes, we do. We pray for people. You look at the sign, the prayer list. There's people that are of need of medical help. And we pray over them. We lay our hands on them according to the book of James, when we can put our hands. Fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we anoint people with all. Yes, we believe those things. But not necessarily me just coming down. If you have a cold and I'm going to go, boom, be healed, thou lady. It doesn't work that way anymore. We don't have that power. I wish I could. That would be fun. No. But we don't have that. That was sign gifts back then. See, the Jews needed to do that to see the reality of the Holy Spirit being manifested. See, in John 20, remember the time? Oh, I'm getting out of my... I always get out of it. I get excited. I'm going to tell you this is good. But anyways, I lost my mind. In John 20, God, before He even left, told the disciples, remember, in fear of the Jews, they hid themselves in the room because the Lord Jesus had been dead for 3 days and three nights. And they don't know, the Lord Jesus talked about resurrection power. They knew that Jesus can resurrect the dead. But they still had some doubts, and we do have doubts. Even though we know the book, we know the end of the book, we know that we're going to be reigning and ruling with Christ, we know that we're going to be wonderfully in heaven, but we still doubt our day-to-day life. Is God going to really do this for me? We do, don't we? And so they had doubts, and they were scared, and they gathered in the room for fear of the Jews. Why? Because the Jews were the one that killed their Lord. The Jews, the high priests, were the one that crucified Christ. In technicality, they were just a picture of us. It was really our sins that Christ died for. But the Bible tells us there, Jesus came in the midst of them, in the midst of trial, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of them scared. Jesus came in the midst and said, peace be unto you, in the midst of them. That would be pretty amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ coming to them. And then He goes like this. He said, let me show you my hands and let me show you my side. Thomas wasn't here. That's why you notice later Thomas goes, well, I'm not going to believe you until I see the snail prints, hands, and the scars. See, probably the disciples who said, yes, it was Jesus, because we saw the nail in His hand, nail prints in His hand. We saw the sides. See, Thomas wasn't at the group this time. Thomas was somewhere else. I don't know where he was. Maybe he gone on doing what he was doing before. But, so we say he's a doubting Thomas. But the other disciples already saw the hands and the side. God showed it to them at the first instance of His showing. He said, here's my side and here's my handprint. What's that? It's showing to them, hey, I did what I did and I'm the same Lord. I'm Jesus. Hey, by God, oh, I'm getting excited. But when you get to heaven, you know what you're going to notice about Jesus? He's going to have that nail print hand and He's going to have that bruised side. but pure side. You're going to remember that for the rest of your life. For the rest of eternity, you're going to see Jesus with those marks. Why? To remind you for all eternity how he loved you and how much he cared. It's amazing. I'm getting off track. But, see, there it is. The Jews had to be saved by sign. But us Gentiles, the men of our salvation, we know this because the first people recorded of being Gentiles prior, after the Lord ascended to heaven, there was people that got saved before Jesus ascended to heaven. The Samaritan woman, she got saved. By the way, the Samaritans were half Jews and half Gentiles. So the Jews were what? Prejudice of them. What time I have? I got plenty of time. They were prejudiced. They looked at them as dogs. In fact, they looked at them as half-breeds. They were not likable to the Jews. A few Jews. That's why when they went to Jesus went to Samaria, most of the people would go around Samaria because they didn't want to be affiliated with the Samaritans. Because that was awful. These people are not, they're mixed. They're half-breeds. Because they call the Gentiles dogs. Remember even that story of that lady that says, hey, if I'm a dog, then the crumbs that fall from the master's table is good enough for me. And remember the Lord says, well, for that faith you shall be whole. Or she got what she needed. Her faith saved her. And so the Gentiles were looked upon as of no good. We're heathens. We're wicked. We were pagans to the Jews' eye because they were prejudiced. I'm God's chosen people. And these people are just, they're heathen. They worship many gods. They sacrifice their kids to Molchus or whatever his name is. But anyways, and so Peter received a vision from God because Peter, God was using him as a Jew and saying to him, hey, the Gentiles can be saved. Just as much as you as a Jew can be saved. Before this, a Samaritan got saved. And get this, a Samaritan got saved, they baptized the Samaritan, and the sign gifts came. That tells the Jew, the Samaritan can get saved as much, as well, the same way as a pure Jew can be saved. And so they're already having problems. Because they're prejudiced. God's still working on the prejudice. And God is saying to them, hey, I love you, yes I do. But I still love others too. I love them as much as I love you. And so then Peter goes, no, not to the Gentiles. Remember that blanket with the food in it? And that's what it talks about. Everything is good and everything's good. If you receive it with what? Prayer and thanksgiving? That's what it was. Because the Jews had what? Dietary laws and the Levitical law. They couldn't eat certain things. So in that blanket there was pork chop probably. And stuff like that that they couldn't eat. And so that brought down Peter's going, I don't believe you, God. I'm not going to a Gentile and telling them about you. But God says, yes, you better do it. And so finally, after much heartache and much problem, much butting against God, he finally did go. And the Cornelius house, when they received the word, not only Cornelius got saved, but his entire household got saved. And get this, to just tell you that God's got such a sense of humor, and because he made me, obviously, one thing. But another thing is, he gave the Gentiles, when they got saved, you know what they got right away? The Holy Spirit of God. And they start speaking in tongues before they were baptized. And Peter, for the sake of it, no fair. He's thinking, no fair. We had to get baptized before we got the sign. We had the Holy Ghost come upon us. And so he said, well, is there any water around here? Because we need to baptize the Gentiles so that they don't look too good. And so they baptized Cornelius and his family. But God is amazing, isn't it? He takes away our prejudice. Some of the people that we don't think God can use, he uses them mightily. And some people that we don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole, God is using. And we better be careful. And we better be careful. I told you to all tell you this. The quantity of the oil was sufficient. God's grace, he's rich unto all that call upon him. Whoever it may be, whatever skin color they may possess, whatever statute they might have in society, how much money they might have in their bank or whatever. God says, if you call upon me, I'm rich unto all. His grace is sufficient. It never runs out. It never runs out. You think about this. God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And he's a mighty poor God. for us as children. If he can't provide steak in our table once in a while, he's amazing. He's amazing. He's all sufficient. He'll give you steak. He does. He gives me steak, hamburgers and stuff like that. It's good. But God is all sufficient, and he can provide for you. And he can provide for you. His Spirit can fill all of us. Imagine, that's amazing for every born-again believer. The Holy Spirit is inside of you personally. At any moment in your life, you can actually go and talk to God. At any time. It doesn't interfere me talking to him. We can all just bow down and pray right here, all of us. And God can hear each and every one. Like we were the only one talking to him. That's amazing. That's wonderful. Because of the quantity of the oil. The candlestick, the oil was never to run out. And it's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God that fills us. He never runs out. You know the only way it seems like he runs out? Is because we don't yield ourselves to him. When he talks about the filling of God, it's not that it's a water that's being poured on you and you run out of it. It's this. You have all of the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have all of him already there. The only thing is that you can't experience his fullness is because you don't want to, because you want to control your life. If you let him do it, you'll be happy. You'll be very happy. No specific dimensions were given for the candlestick, just so that it contained the entire content of the required gold. We talked about that. Being made as one solid piece, it was a vertical shaft with three branches on each side. Three branches, continually, pure oil. vine and branches, talks about, remember, abide in the vine, John 15, we are the branches, he's the vine, the Lord Jesus. Abide in him and you will have life. Speaks of our completeness in him. Speaks of our completeness in the Lord Jesus. We're complete in him, Colossians 2:10. The branches are part and of shining for the eternal, for the central candlestick. Ephesians 5:8, 1 Peter 2 and 9. We get our light from him. We get our light from him. Wow, I got one more page to do, and I'm not going to get it done. I'll get it done next week. I got excited. So we'll do it next week. I don't want to stretch it because we've got 1 minute. All right? And there's a lot of things on that next page that I want to explain. So let's just go ahead and pray and close. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time that you have provided. We thank you, Lord, that you give us time and life. And Lord, it's meaningful, and it's full of purpose, and it's exciting. And Lord, we pray for anybody that might be in this room that is suffering, that might have trials in their life, pains and aches, maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe they're struggling in their spiritual life. Lord, I pray that they can understand this, that they may get comfort in these words, that you are always there. You're near to every one of us. You're right there. In fact, you're so close to us, you live inside of us. And Lord, we got the blessed news and we got the blessed promise of the Holy Spirit. And he, and his job as to the Christian, is to be a comforter. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you gave us a comforter and it's inside of us. And no matter, Lord, how hard life becomes because of sin and because of this cursed world, we can come to you at any moment, at any time, at any given place, and we can ask for mercy and we can ask for grace to go through our problems. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that your Spirit is sufficient for all of us. Thank you that your salvation is sufficient. And thank you, Jesus, that is so pure and it's so wonderful. The quality is so great. The quantity is so much. We'll never run out. Oh God, we thank you for this candlestick as a symbol of you, as a symbol of the light. And Lord, help us, Lord, today that we can find comfort in that. We love you, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory again in Jesus' name. Amen.